Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the insights you share with us and, well, try to bring them into focus.
Make them actionable.
Exactly. Actionable knowledge. So today, we're looking at Brother Steve's message from this past Wednesday night, September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
He really got into some key scriptures, 1 John 2, 2 Corinthians 10, really about, you know, how we live as light in, well, what he called a shadowed world.
That's right. And our aim here is to really pull out the main threads from that teaching.
Yeah.
How do we as believers navigate, you know, today's culture?
Stand firm against it.
Stand firm. Yeah. What do we need to carry forward? What principles?
So just to set the scene a bit, Brother Stu started, as he usually does, grounding us in the community.
Right.
Mentioned the mission focus, the We Care Pregnancy Center, such vital work there.
Absolutely vital.
And the ministry of the month, the baptism assistance, plus that September memory verse, Matthew 5.14.
You are the light of the world.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's good to have those reminders, you know. Puts things in perspective before the deeper teaching.
It really does. It shows that faith isn't just like an abstract idea. It's lived out.
In community.
In community. Through things like Operation Christmas Child, praying for each other. It weaves us together.
Okay, so with that sort of community spirit in mind, let's get into maybe the biggest point Brother Steve made right off the bat. Understanding the world.
Mm-hmm. The definition.
Yes. He was super clear that when the Bible talks about God hating the world, it's not, you know, hating the planet or hating people.
Right. That's a common mix-up.
It is.
He explained that the world in that biblical sense isn't the physical creation. It's more of a system.
And a system. How so?
Well, a cultural, philosophical, ideological system that's basically set up against Christ.
Okay.
He said it's inspired by, you know, spiritual forces of darkness, and it involves the thinking of people who haven't come to the Lord yet. The unregenerate.
The sons of this world, he called them.
Exactly. That mindset.
That distinction is, well, it's huge, isn't it? Because our citizenship, Philippians 3.20, it's from heaven.
Right.
We're not of this world system.
Right.
But we are definitely in it. We live here.
We do. And that immediately raises the issue of temptation, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean the world loses its pull.
Not at all. We're still tempted. Material yeah. things, lust, our own pride,
yeah.
self-interest. It's all still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that command in 1 John 2.15, do not love the world, is so stark. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, it's a battle. And Brother Steve really emphasized that when we truly accept the gospel, confess Jesus as Lord, we're making a break.
A decisive break.
Yeah. we die to that old system. Our whole allegiance shifts. It's a complete reorientation.
And that leads to something pretty strong, he said. If our love for Christ is really number one.
Supreme.
Supreme, yeah. Then our redeemed nature should actually, well, hate anything that opposes Jesus Christ.
That sounds strong, hating something.
It does, but he meant it in terms of righteous opposition. He gave the example of, say, books that deny Jesus' deity.
Right.
His advice was pretty blunt. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
He even suggested that if seeing Christ misrepresented doesn't spark some kind of righteous anger in us.
A holy anger.
Yeah, maybe it's time for a little spiritual checkup, as he put it. It forces you to ask where your deepest loyalty really is.
It definitely makes you think. Okay, so from defining the world system, he then broadened it out to this idea of the Antichrist spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was clear this isn't just some future figure, but an active spirit.
Right, an active influence that's been working in the world system for, well, millennia. 1 John 4 talks about it.
Okay, so how does a spirit show up?
Well, he listed various ways. Obvious ones like atheism, agnosticism.
Rejecting God outright.
Yeah, but also more subtle ways. Sophisticated religions, he said, like Islam, Buddhism, different cults.
Even distorted forms of Christianity.
Exactly. Aberrant Christianity, he called it. The common link is that they all somehow misrepresent or deny who Jesus truly is. And the glory of salvation through him alone.
So it's always about distorting Christ.
Fundamentally, yes. It's a spirit of opposition to the truth about Christ.
And for us as believers, he said, that draws a line in the sand.
A clear line.
We become the opposite, spiritually speaking, of that world system. It's God's family versus, well, the family aligned with that opposing spirit. No middle ground.
Right. But, and this is really important, he stressed, this doesn't mean we hate creation or hate people.
No, definitely not.
God loves people.
Yeah.
He desires none to perish.
Yeah.
We're commanded to love people too.
He quoted Matthew 5, didn't he? Love your enemies.
Yes, love your enemies. He called that common grace. God's goodness extended to everyone, believer or not.
So it's that tricky balance again. Hate the sin, hate the Antichrist system, but love the person caught in it.
Exactly. Love the person, pray for their eyes to be opened.
And he pushed that thought a bit further, saying, a true believer can't really stay comfortable inside a false religious system for long.
Right.
Why is that? Is it just uncomfortable?
It's more than uncomfortable, he argued. It's a fundamental clash. These systems, by definition, deny or twist the Christ we love.
Okay.
So if you truly love Jesus, your tolerance for hearing him misrepresented or diminished should be, well, almost zero.
Sure, spirit just reacts against it.
Your spirit reacts. The Holy Spirit within you grieves over it. He pointed out how often the world's media or systems misrepresent Christians even today.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
It highlights that inherent conflict. If you stand for Christ, you should expect pushback.
That reminds me of, you know, stories you hear, like John MacArthur getting that awful letter after being on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It backs up what Brother Steve said from 1 John 3.13.
Do not marvel if the world hates you.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's expected if you're genuinely following Christ. The world hated Jesus first. So true. Okay, so building on that reality, the message then moved into, well, the practical side, our daily walk. He drew from 2 Corinthians 10.
Right. And he made a really sharp distinction here between just, you know, sinning, which we all do, and actually loving the world system.
That's crucial.
Yeah, he listed those deeds of the flesh from Galatians 5, immorality, jealousy, anger, outbursts.
It's the stuff we struggle with.
Right, we're sinners. We don't need Satan whispering in our ear for every single sin. But the difference for a Christian, he said, is the reaction.
Mm.
When we sin, we feel awful. There's conviction. A pull towards repentance. That's totally different from embracing or loving the Antichrist evil itself.
It's the difference between stumbling in the battle versus switching sides.
Good way to put it. It's a battle against our flesh, not signing up with the opposition.
And he described that true love for Christ again, that supreme affection. It allows no rivals.
Only for him. Only for him. So if we genuinely love Jesus like that, we automatically become, spiritually speaking, haters of those Antichrist spirits working in the world. Our love defines our opposition.
Interesting. He also gave a perspective on Satan's bigger strategy, not just tripping up individuals.
Although he did that too.
Sure. But the bigger picture, Brother Steve suggested, is about consolidation, drawing people into one big false religious system.
A mystery religion, he called it.
Yeah, merging different beliefs together under the false prophet in the end times, like a spiritual melting pot, but the wrong kind.
It's a sobering thought, really.
Yeah.
And that leads right into our role as the church. He called us the militant church.
Not militant with guns, obviously.
Well, no, not at all. Militant in spiritual warfare. He stressed we're human, but our weapons aren't human weapons. Not carnal.
It's a spiritual battle.
Truth against error, Christ against Antichrist. Our weapons are spiritual.
And our strength, he said, quoting the passage, is mighty in God.
Mighty in God.
And the purpose of that divine power. To pull down strongholds.
Mm-hmm. Strongholds.
That phrase really hit me because you think about how much worldly thinking we can carry over, even as Christians.
Oh, absolutely.
Ideas, assumptions, they become like little fortresses in our minds that resist the Holy Spirit's work.
That's exactly it. He explained the Greek word there, logismos. It means arguments, reasonings, speculations, ideologies.
Our thought systems.
Our thought systems that are essentially baseless and set themselves up against the true knowledge of God. And our job isn't just to question them, but to destroy them.
Actively demolish them.
Both in our own minds and challenging them in the world. It's an active stance.
And how do we do that? He was specific.
Very specific. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Every single thought. That's demanding.
It is. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. We have to confront those anti-God ideas, those proud human arguments, with the truth of God's word. Constantly examining our thinking.
Bringing it into line with Christ.
Constantly. It's a discipline.
To really drive this home, the idea of transformation, Brother Steve used probably the most powerful example there is, the Apostle Paul.
Yes. Philippians 3, Acts 9, Paul's story.
What an example. I mean, before he met Christ, Paul was the model religious zealot, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Pharisee of Pharisees. Totally confident in his own righteousness, his religious pedigree.
Hunting down Christians.
Actively persecuting them, thinking he was serving God. He was like Brother Steve put it, an antichrist person in his stance against Jesus and his followers.
He lists his credentials in Philippians, doesn't he? Circumcised the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, zealous for the law.
Blameless under the law, he thought. These were his gains, his spiritual resume, his strongholds of self-achievement.
That was his identity.
Completely.
But then, the Damascus Road, Jesus confronts him.
And everything changes. Shattered.
His whole world turned upside down. And later, he writes in Philippians 3:7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ.
Powerful. And he goes further. He counts all things as loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. He uses that word skubal.
Which means?
Rubbish, refuse, trash. Garbage, basically.
So everything he valued before his status, his knowledge, his righteousness, became garbage compared to knowing Jesus.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? Once he saw Christ clearly, truly, everything else just faded into worthlessness. He stopped loving that old world, that system of self-righteousness. He couldn't love it anymore.
It became impossible.
Impossible.
And that led right back to Brother Steve's main point, that very direct conclusion. If you still love that world system, its values, its way of thinking,
and the love of God isn't truly in you.
You can't have both. It's
right.
One or the other. Your ultimate allegiance has to be clear.
That idea that you can't love both God and the world, it's stark, but it really makes sense in light of Paul's testimony. And then Brother Steve connected it to something really painful.
Spiritual defection.
Yeah.
Especially in ministry.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? To see people who once seemed strong in the faith, maybe even leaders,
turn away. Go back to loving the world, sometimes leaving everything behind. Family, faith.
It's a tragic reality.
Mm.
Brother Steve even mentioned Judas finding a strange kind of, well, cautionary encouragement there.
How so?
That even being with Jesus himself, day in and day out, didn't guarantee faithfulness. Defection is possible for anyone if their heart isn't truly surrendered.
Wow, that's sobering. No one's immune to that temptation to drift back.
No one. Which leaves us with a really urgent call, doesn't it?
To follow Paul's example, his model of ministry, of life. It involved partnership, yes, but also that willingness to constantly confront the world's lies.
With the truth. It's an ongoing battle for the mind, always.
Our spiritual growth, our effectiveness, everything depends on winning that battle.
We have to remember, as Brother Steve implied, our spiritual potential isn't fully unlocked until that battle for the mind is won day by day.
It takes that constant vigilance, doesn't it? Repentance when we fail.
Humility.
And nurturing that deep, exclusive love for Christ that just crowds out everything else. No room for rivals.
A consecrated life, truly set apart.
So, thinking about all this, maybe the question for you listening is, what specific stronghold, maybe an idea, an attitude, an influence from the world needs confronting in your life right now?
What thought needs to be brought captive to Christ this week? Something to really reflect on.
Definitely something to reflect on. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We appreciate you listening and look forward to connecting again soon.